11. I lived in Nigeria, and I don't know Nigerians here if you've heard of the Nigerian military school. It was a boarding school, a military boarding school, and I wanted so much to go to the Nigerian military school. You have to understand, at that time, Nigeria was a military dictatorship, so all the governors, all the ministers, the president, Babangida, they were all military. So to be anybody, military was it. And you would hear stories about the military schools, about boys being turned into soldiers, about weeks in the bush, learning, doing war games, learning how to shoot a rifle, learning how to strip a rifle. And I was like, I want that. And then when you see them during the summer, you see them all in their uniform and their boots, like 13, 14-year-old boys, and they looked hench. They just looked like, rah! And I thought, that is what I want. I want to be a soldier. I want to be like that. And there was nobody that could talk me out of going to the military school. And I got in. It was a very good school, one of the best schools in Nigeria at the time, and I got in. But very quickly I realized that I had no idea what I had bargained for. I had absolutely no idea the extremes of discipline, the extremes of punishment, the brutality. Just, I had no idea. Nothing prepared me for that. It was in my second year, I got beaten up so badly, my mom withdrew me from the school. But by then, I had already become feral. So going into a civil school just didn't work. The things that I would do to the other kids, like every other week that I was in the head teacher's office, I would already turned into this soldier in the making. And so my parents had to say, look, that's no good, we have to take you back to the military school because we can't deal with you. But I had no idea. What I was in for. When we graduated, I remember I cried all the way home, just the cry of relief. I just cried and cried and cried. 6 years. It was like 6 years in prison. It was good. It did me well, as you can see. What's the point? I'm sure you've been in situations, whether jobs or different situations, where it just wasn't what you had in mind. It was more than what you bargained for. You know? We say a lot about, I give my life to Jesus. I'm going to read two passages, Luke 14, 25 to 35. This is what Jesus says. He says, great multitudes went with him. So a lot of people were following him. He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Multitudes were following him. Like, Jesus was not interested in numbers. He was interested in quality. He was interested in quality. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot. I mean, we need to emphasize that. Cannot be my disciples. And then he says this. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. And he who has an ear, let him hear. I believe this is what God wanted to say to you guys this morning. That have you considered the cost of this thing that you claim to believe? Have you considered the cost, what it's going to cost you? And have you considered if you're willing to pay that price? There are people that have said, I give my life to the Lord, but when it comes to paying the cost, they say that price is too high. I love the turning. Because we present the gospel, and people receive the gospel, and what we say to them, I'm now going to walk with you through what this means. We don't just leave them there. Because we know there's a journey of life and there's a journey of faith. We know that there is a point of baptism where we're going to say, listen, we want you to get baptized. And this is what baptism means. It means you're publicly declaring that you're going to die to yourself as an identification of your union with Jesus Christ. You are willing to die with Jesus. You're willing to be buried to all that is self. And He will raise you up with a new spiritual life that is empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's a cost. And for those of us who say, I am a Christian, the word Christian means like Christ. And this week, the Lord really challenged me to answer this question, how are you like me? How are you like Jesus? Do you have a beard? One man at the back. Two men. How are you like Jesus exactly? I go around telling people I'm a Christian, I am like Christ. But what does that mean? Do I do the things He does? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do the thing that I've asked you to do? Why do you call me Lord? He says, because it's not the people that call me Lord that get to heaven. So just saying you're a Christian don't mean nothing. There are millions of people that say they're Christians and they're not. The difference is those that do. By their fruits you shall know them. Then He said to them, Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let him deny self. Now, let him deny himself. We used to say, I'm fasting and I'm not going to eat chocolate. That's me denying myself. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. When He talked about the self, He was talking about your life. He was talking about your life. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for myself will save it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? Whoever is ashamed of me in my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, well, I'll stop there. It's very simple, really. Have you considered the cost? What it's going to cost you to be a Christian. When I was a child growing up, we lived in Zaria, which is a northern town. And at that time, there were roaming Fulani tribesmen called Metasini. And they would go around burning churches, burning Christian homes, and beheading people. This was in the 80s. So Boko Haram, that's nothing new. When we went to church, we had to have security guards posted 500 yards that way, 500 yards that way, 500 yards that way, 500 yards that way. So that when they saw the roving bands, they would run into the church and said, they're coming, and we'd all have to evacuate. That was my kind of church experience growing up in northern Nigeria. Every Sunday when it was time to go to church, there was a cost. There was a price. We could be killed. But my mom would still pack us up. Wait, we're going to church today. And I'm thinking, but what of the Metasini? What if many places around the world, there is a real cost to being a Christian? They know their disciples. Me, I'm going out and I'm saying, but it's raining, Lord. As though on that day, 2,000 years ago, if it had started to rain, you just go, oh, it's raining. I'm sorry, I can't go to the cross today. We'll leave that for another day. Do you know what I mean? Have you counted the cost? We ask questions like, do you love him more than your parents? Oh, yes, I do. Do you love him more than your job? Oh, yes, I do. Do you love him more than, oh, yes, I do. More than your car? Yes, I do. It's easy to say yes. But what is the evidence of that love? What is the evidence of that love? What is the proof? What is the demonstration of that? See, when Jesus said, count the cost, He was asking us to do a very real assessment. so that we know where we stand. So that you know where you stand. You know whether this thing that you claim is real. Because he says there will be people who will start this journey and will not complete it. There are people that will start and say, I'm a Christian, but when the rubber hits the road, because they didn't consider what's required of them, they'll abandon it. It didn't work for me. It wasn't a this, it wasn't a that, it wasn't a this. And they don't make it through the finish line. I'm going to wrap up because I want us to have communion. What cost are you not willing to pay? What price are you not willing to pay for Jesus? That's an interesting question. The Lord asked me lots of questions. He said, how will you like me, Mike? Do you do the things that I do? Do you do the things I ask you to do? And what is it, Mike, that you're not willing to do? If it's raining, I won't go. If it's not comfortable, I won't go. If it makes me feel ashamed, I won't go. If it's going to cost me money, I won't go. If it means I'm not going to have my friends with me, I won't go. If I have to do it on my own, I won't go. Suddenly, the cost, it's like, what, is that it? That's what you're not willing to pay. If it's going to require 2 days a week, I won't go. If it's going to require me to be there till 10 o'clock at night, I won't go. So, do you see what I'm saying? When we celebrate Jesus, who gave everything, everything, his glory and his majesty, he was tortured for 6 hours. He bled and he died. When he gave his life for us, when he gave his life for us, his very life, then we say we are Christian. We are like Jesus. But then rain is too much of a cost. To be identified as Christian in a public space is too much of a cost. To name the name of Jesus and not be ashamed of it is too much of a cost to pay. This is why Jesus sat his disciples down and said, listen, count the cost, because this is what is required of you. So therefore, you need to know before him and be honest and say, it's too much. I can't pay that price. Rich young ruler came to Jesus and Jesus said to him, well, you want eternal life? Sell all you have and give it to the poor. The Bible says he hung his head in shame and he went because that was too much for him to pay. I'd like the servers to come forward, please. See, now, when you come before the Lord's table, the Bible says, don't be so quick. Don't be so quick. It said, stop and think. Examine yourself. Check yourself. When you identify with a sacrifice, when you want to be included in a sacrifice, when you want to be included in the death of Jesus Christ, do you know what it means for you? Do you know what it means for your life? If you're saying, you own me, and I want to be identified in your death, do you know what that means for yourself, for self, for life, for your life that you hold on to? It means that none of it's yours. It means that you're saying, Jesus, this is all you. So if he says, okay, this is what I want from you, you can't say no. If he says, I want you to go on mission, you can't say no. If he says, I want you to come to Sunday service on an evening, you can't say no, because you said you've given him your life. If he says to you, I want you now to give so-and-so and so-and-so to that person, you can't say no, because your money is part of what you say you've given to him. You said that he owns your life. And so the question comes back, do you know what it means when you say, I give you my, Lord, I give you my life? Do you understand what that involves, what that includes? On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Godfrey. it be all right for you? Thank you. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this represents the blood of my covenant, my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we come to the Lord's table, let us not take it so quickly. Let us present ourselves before the Lord. Let us understand what He's asking of us when He says, I want your life. Let us understand what He's asking when He says, count the cost. What price is too high? What are you saying I will not give? Thank you. If we call ourselves Christians, if we say we are like Jesus, we must be prepared for anyone to ask you, how are you like Jesus? Do you lay down your life like He did? How are you like Jesus?